It's wonderful to have you here, and a privilege for me, privilege and a real appreciation to have Ifti on this call. Just a bit about today's topic. Oh yeah, okay. Mata's typing message. Anyone who has any questions, please use the Q&A. And as you come in, please tell us from where you are. And whatever else of interest you'd like us to know. Like, a good question will be in keeping with today's session. What is your energy level right now? High, low, medium, do tell us. What is your energy level right now as you're entering this call? A bit about our speaker and the topic for today. Our speaker is Dr. Iftikhar Nadeem, who has a PhD, and today is going to talk about energy for full engagement. So the call is all about energy and how we can improve our energy, or some tools, you know, you will chase knowledge, some tools on living with full energy, or how we can move to that space. And Ifti will talk a bit more about the topic in his introduction, but I want to say a bit more about Ifti. I've personally known him for a few years now, and besides all the lovely things you would read about a person in their bio, he's just a wonderful, wonderful human being, an excellent listener, really good with engaging in deep, thought-provoking conversations with, very open to any kind of topic, whether it's core competencies or other topics, very open. So in a sense, he embodies the coaching mindset in every sense of the word. His contributions to coaching and how he shows up as a human being. He's also an executive coach. He holds a BSc and MSc in industrial engineering, and his PhD is in leadership coaching at Canterbury Christ Church University in the UK. He's coached a diverse range of clients, including corporate leaders, entrepreneurs, and including the members of the royal family. And he's published several papers, he's referenced in many journals, and spoken at conferences on various coaching-related topics. And of course, he runs a program called the Corporate Athlete Program, that aims to create experiences of peak performance for business executives. I'll stop there now because I think you want to fully engage with Ifti, and I'm going to hand over to you. Ifti, over to you. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Cindy. You are actually raising my level of energy by saying all this. So... And some people are already rating themselves 9 out of 10 energy level. So that's awesome to know. So let me share my screen and we start, you know, right from there. So Cindy, just to confirm, you can see my screen?
Yes, of course, you can okay. See your screen.
Excellent, excellent. So let's start and let's start with, so Cindy, would you mind if we do like a little conversation off and on as we go? So also probably
yes,
you will be looking at the questions, right? Or anything people will put in the chat box.
Yes, I will manage that for you.
Yeah,
and if there's noise in my background, I'm going to go off mute, okay? But I'm right here.
Yeah, fine. So whenever I need to, I will call you because I'm seeing my screen and just to make sure what we're doing. So energy, we're talking about human energy. By the way, I'm sitting in Saudi Arabia. So when I say to people, they look at oil and gas sometimes. So it's not oil and gas, it's the gas of the people, you know, the fuel. inside us as people. So if I ask people what energy means to them, so what would they say if I asked you what energy means to you? You know, it is our most critical resource as a human, and we know it from different ways and means. We will discover more about it. But what it means to you, if you put something in the chat box, I would be able to, you know, engage with that. And maybe for the first two slides, I can even focus more on the chat box itself rather than anything. So
the question IFT is, what does energy mean for people? Okay.
Yes. So they're putting fuel, passion, what starts my day, you know, energy, capacity to do work. Yeah, that's true. Engagement. Yes, that's what we are saying. Full engagement, not only engagement, full engagement.
Mm.
Flow, you know, energy means ability to make a change. Well, that's interesting. So endorphins, yeah, if you do exercise and you're moving your legs, endorphins will come up. And movement, purpose, feeling high, aura, all those things people are talking about, they are energy. Awareness, yeah, I like that. Feeling alive, definitely. Capacity for meaningful work, wow. That's Manish is saying that, so that's so true. Okay, energy equal to breath. Wow. So breathing and breath, yeah. Sleeping could be also for some people. So if it's refreshing them after sleeping, and power machine, playing at full potential, connections. So these are all good things. All things, you know, that means people, they understand or they like it or they want to be, you know. So let's switch gear a little bit. And if I ask you a different kind of question. So I assume most of you are doing something and you like to introduce yourself at least as a coach, if not coach, as a leader, as a maybe HR, you know, manager or whatever. You are carrying a job title, you know. So if you take off that job title for a minute, so who are you without your job title? If I ask you this question, so what would be your answer? Who are you without your job title? So let's see some thoughts. Enabler. Mm. Good. Optimist, connector, seeker, cat lover. I love that, cat lover. Yeah, servant leader, father, learner, rebel, questioner, dog lover, human. Okay. So pure awareness, mother. So passionate. Just you can add I, by the way, before this, if you like. Somebody say useful. So I am useful, you know, or I am, you know, nurturer, you know, hopeful. I am hopeful. And have that feeling, you know, for at least few seconds that I am this, you know. Wow, now you are putting I am, you know, so I'm still finding, you know, I'm empathetic, turbulent, wow.
turbulent?
Yeah, maybe if that is creating some energy, that's okay. As long as it's not, I'm Shakti, I'm on a journey.
Oh, nice, wow.
So, nice. Okay, cool. I'm an average Joe. So fine, average is good, you know.
I know Joe was not average.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, adding value in others. I'm adding value in others. INFJ, you know, so MBTI stuff is coming. So that is fine also. So Cindy, if I ask you, what would you say? without this coach and all, who are you, you know?
So I've been thinking about that now as the answers are going in.
Mm.
I can't find a simple answer to that. I can't find a word to describe it.
I am energy. Somebody's saying I'm energy.
Yeah. I'm going to take that. So if you really, I can't find a word to describe that. Mm-hmm. So
what else I feel do it's you a find sense, to describe?
I'm feeling like a sense of groundedness, settled, calm, ease, engaging in the world or connected. So I get a sense of something. I'm struggling to put words to that question. Who am I? Yeah.
And you could be many things, you know, and depending on where you are, you know.
Yeah. Because you said remove the titles, right?
Yes.
So I've removed all the titles. Human being.
By the way, when I ask this question to corporate leaders, imagine what answer. They don't have answer for a while.
Okay.
You know? Yeah.
I don't feel bad, but I don't ever.
So
I always want to ask you the same, right? I want to ask you the same because, I know you're doing this for a long time now. So when you remove all your titles, what shows up?
I see myself because I'm too much into energy thing for a while. So I see myself in high low energies. And I enjoy all of it, frankly. They all tell me something, you know. I don't judge it, you know, in other words. So I welcome it. I enjoy it. So that's how I see myself. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So if we switch another switch, this is the third switch, by the way, and there will be no more switching for a while at least, I promise. So who would you like to be? You know, if you are, is who you are maybe you're okay with that, or who would you like to be, you know? So what would be that? So people are saying, I want to be, I would like to be a conscious leader, you know, who inspires, I want to be conscious and aware human. So it seems people are seeking awareness, consciousness, you know, and there's no limit probably to it, free spirit. So they want freedom at the spiritual level, which is cool, and fully connected to myself and others, you know. So this is who they want to be, you know. And
that's lovely.
I'm okay with the way I am. Yeah, that's absolutely fine. Operate from a space of awareness and abundance, and I want to be the solution.
Ooh, nice.
I want to be wealthy in all aspects of life. Yeah, as long as you define what is wealth for you. So that's absolutely fine. Excellent. So I'll go back to my presentation now again, and let's continue. I'll come back to it because I may switch off and on, because then I can read fully myself also and engage with you. So energy, as we know, in physics, by the way, energy means capacity to work. You know, somebody wrote it also. So I don't know if he's a scientist or energy means different things to different people, as you described it in the beginning. But it's the most critical resource we as a human have, but we fail to manage it more effectively. That means we fail to expand it, you know. So here in Saudi Arabia, we have an oil company next door. They are running a campaign now, real energy is inside us. So I like that, you know, what is real energy? So it's not oil and gas, although these are oil and gas workers, but real energy they think is the people. So what triggered my interest, by the way, years ago is this article by Tony Schwartz. And after that, I met him a few times with John Lear in the US. So they used to work together. Tony now, at that time he was in New York Times reporter, but now he's running his own energy project in New York. So he wrote this article in HBR called Manage Your Energy, Not Your Time, you know. So I heard people talking about it, but I never really understood what he means, you know. So I read it and read a few books and all and trained and became trainer, etc. So this is that. So energy has also, when we talk to people in corporate, especially our leaders, so time and energy come, you know, quite often together. So what is more important for you? They talk about time, by the way, all the time. They say, I don't have time, I'm busy, I'm stressed, this and that. But they don't talk about energy, most of them. So this is where I started, you know, engaging with them about 8-9 years ago. So, and then I found that what they complain about is actually energy, you know. So energy is what they want to actually change or expand. So this program, when they started, it was about, you know, they started with professional athletes. The guy who trained me, he's now retired. Actually, he opened a Human Performance Institute also in Florida. So Jim Lur and Tony were working with him initially. So he was actually studying athletes, especially tennis players. So he was studying tennis players for years, and he concluded that it's not what makes a great tennis player is not how he plays tennis. So it's something between the two tennis two shots, you know. So when the tennis players have a shot and then the next shot, so they call this 16 second time space in between. So during this 16 second, what goes through their mind, that's what separates great players or more successful players than others. Otherwise, their biomechanics or their training or their skills, they are about the same. So what differentiates them, he said that energy during those 16 seconds. So that what he concluded. And then he worked with leaders and others. So this program, Corporate Athlete, actually came from there. So it's we are borrowing things from sports psychology and from other disciplines like nutrition and all to understand this energy thing and people. So it's a very science-based program, which then when I learned coaching, that's was really wow. How could I engage more leaders use in a coaching style? So that's where it really helped me a lot. So now. All those coaching competencies, I relate to energy. So as coaches, we all know that, we talk about emotions or feelings and all of those things. So what are those things, which we can relate to competencies, So the presence, for example. So what can enhance our presence as a coach? Or how can this help us in improving energy for our own energy and our clients' energy? So these principles really helped me a lot to understand. So if you compare these corporate athletes or corporate leaders with professionals, so we all know that athletes train too much. They do is they train themselves every day, and then they for one. Let's say day of their game sometime in a 4 years as a in an Olympic match, they train for 4 years for that day. So they train a lot, they prepare a lot. But corporate, they only perform, they don't prepare that much. So this was a big difference we found. The hours they work, the career spans are quite different, so athletes actually perform only 7 years, 8 years, 10 years at the most. And then they, some athletes go maybe a little longer, but corporate leads work more. And then they end up with this energy, obviously, problem, So what happens as we grow by age, if you look at this graph, so our demand versus capacity. You know, if you look at the two curves, so red is capacity, which comes down with time, you know, and age is, demand is growing, capacity is coming down. So there's an intersection where that could happen, by the way, at age of 30, 35, 40, depends on the person. But then the gap starts, the two curves start, you know, going in opposite direction. So this is the gap that comes in. And that's where usually I or people like me who help, you know, as a coach to our clients. So to narrow down this gap, at least if we cannot close completely. And so this is how the whole game begins, but there's a gap coming, you know. So what makes this gap is with time, is our responsibility, our roles in life. You know, we have children, so we have to run after them when we are 35 and all, take them to school. You have a job and you want to attend a training and become a coach or what else. So all this demand start going up and your capacity going down. And due to many reasons, which you will learn a little late now in the webinar. So that why it goes down, because we become very routine day to day, very linear life we start spending, you know. So that's what bring it down, you know, the capacity. So energy, we look at through four dimensions of energy, if you like. So, and if you look at this pyramid, the bottom is the physical energy, which is foundational energy, by the way. So physical is the foundation. That's in our body, we can call, you know, physically, how do we feel, you know, in our body, which is a big deal. And then comes emotion, which is more quality of energy. So physical is quantity, emotional is quality, you know. And then mental, which is more about focus, and spiritual, it's about force of energy. We'll talk each one of those today. And so physical is a foundation, and when we try to develop, we go from bottom up, if you see this arrow on the left. So we go bottom up when it's physical, but we go top down when we, if we want to become extraordinary, you know, it starts from top down. And that's where I see a lot of room for coaches to, you know, help their clients. If they start top-down discussion, we all as coaches, we know when we talk to corporate leaders who are stressed out, we suggest them don't drink too much coffee, you know, or do some exercise. We do, you know, wellness-related things we always talk about, and well, that's the, like when we develop. But the real thing starts from top-down, you know. When they start linking to something big, you know, which they want to do, to their big arrow in life, when they start linking it. So spiritual side, which is the purpose, you know, in life, what they really want to do, what really has unlimited force of energy. So it's like connecting to a reservoir, a big reservoir, you know, of energy. So mental, as we know, is the focus, and then emotional is the quality, etc. So Cindy, any feedback coming? Any question people asking, or should I?
Not yet. Coaches, if there's any questions, type it into the chat, please.
Yeah.
No, not any as, okay, as of
so
now.
Maybe they're focused listening.
So, yeah, we were all listening to you.
Excellent.
So somebody wants to know.
So they're trained listener anyway, so I have advantage. Coaches are trained listeners, so I think that's a good advantage I have.
So we asked you, where is the research? Somebody said it's, Jennifer says it's fascinating and useful. Where can I access this research?
So research on energy, I could put maybe later this HPI, okay. J&J, Johnson & Johnson has no HPI. They acquired this institute, Human Performance Institute. So that could be one place. But the concept here are borrowed from science of sports psychology is you know, definitely the big piece. Nutrition and others, you will see physiology and all. So this concept has been, and now I will say coaching, body of knowledge, you know, so if I'm bringing that in, so that is also coming from learning theories, if you want to call it, you know, so because as coaches, we facilitate learning of our clients, you know, so whatever that learning is for them, you know, so learning theories, because in my PhD, I focus a lot on learning theories, how people learn, you know. So, and that is also related to knowledge, if you want to call scientific knowledge, you know, and that is helping the practice of coaching. So physically, when we are energized, now what is full engagement? Because that's the promise, you know, of this title of talk today, full engagement. How do you acquire that? Full engagement can be acquired. You know, it's a state which can be acquired. So how do we do that when we are physically energized, you know, and we are emotionally connected, you know, and whatever that emotion is, by the way, without any judgment, it could be sadness. So don't worry about that. So mentally focused, we are doing one thing at a time, you know, not multitasking and all that, because we are not wired to be multitasker. And spiritually aligned, that means we are aligned with some sort of purpose, you know. So then you forget time, you know, that's the beauty of this whole thing. And that's a full engagement state, you know, people call it flow, people call it different, you know, labels, but that's a full engagement when you are relaxed, also physically energized, means relaxed. There's no stress, you know, in your body. You have not been doing unhuman thing for too long, I would say, which turns to burnout otherwise. So at this stage, if I asked you on these four dimensions, you know, of energy, what is your state, you know, quantity of energy or quality or focus or force? What is that you need to, or how would you, let's say, rate, and what is that you need to improve, you know, in your life, if you want to say that. So I will be able to see what you are writing down in your chat box. So focus and force, somebody saying focus of energy, focus coming, focus and force, 2F, 5, 5, 5, okay, that's the average. If full scale is 10, 5, 5, 5 could be full scale, we don't know. Force, wow. I like that because force is, by the way, usually overlooked by many people, you know. When I do this sometime, like a 2-day group coaching or training, so people are more worried about weight loss. So, but at the end of the program, they change. They think, no, weight loss is a very small thing, you know. And I will show you a case study I recently did, in fact, so with a real client of mine who came to that training, and what happened to him when he went outside just weight loss and he focused on energy. So connected, alignment, people are saying these are the things they are really. So excellent. Let me go back then again to where I am, and let me share that case study also I have. Okay, so here we are. So it could be different for different people, that's absolutely fine. Now, when we say linearity leads to serious disengagement, linearity means doing same thing for too long, and we call it stress, you know. The burnout is same, we are doing something for too long, you know, no change. So it's like, you know, it's a straight line, you know. So when there is a straight line, we know what it means in life. You know, it has to be rhythm, you know. When life is not rhythm, that's, otherwise it's a straight line. So we prefer sprinter versus marathon, you know, in that sense of life, you know. So life, live life in a series of sprints rather than, you know, same for over a longer period. So this is how we also, recovery for energy is the fundamental theme to how do you recover. So there is a stress, you know, sometimes positive, and But then how we recover? Even when you go to gym, you have to rest after that a bit. You know, gym, you expose yourself to positive stress, I would say. You know, you expand something. You expand your limits. You know, so you get you expose yourself to something. You exert more force, so you build muscle. You know, so when you there is a positive stress, there's something building also inside you. You know, so that capacity you are building is useful then. So muscle building, exercising, or you know, strength training, all that is a positive stress. So without that, you cannot build capacity. And so recovery means you are, you know, engaging, disengaging. So rhythm in life in general, you know, is a sign of life, in fact, rhythm. You know, anything we do in a rhythmic manner. So now this is the story I want to share. And I have a few other stories also, by the way. So this guy is a real case who came to one of my training in energy training. In fact, this kind of program, 2 days program, where we do even gym sessions, by the way. We serve them different food to experience the whole thing. But we also talk about spiritual, mental, emotional dimension a lot, you know. So this guy, his real name is Abdullah, and he was sitting in that training. And what you see on the left side, his picture, you know, he was 145 kg at that time. And I'm grateful he came to that training. And he was sitting on the table, and I asked Abdullah during one of our breaks, so Abdullah, what is... How's your life going? So I was chatting with him. I asked him how many children he has. He told me he has a daughter who's about, 10 years old. In Saudi, sometimes women get a bit married soon, but that's not always the case, frankly. So I asked him, when your daughter get married, you know, that would be a great day for you. He said, yeah, wow, that would be awesome day for me. I'm looking forward to it. So I said, Abdullah, how would you look like on that day? You know, picture this, that wedding is going on, and how would you look like? And Abdullah really stopped for a while, and he said, listen, you know what? I think I will be on a wheelchair on that day. So I asked him this question, that would you like to be, on the wheelchair on that day? He said, no, I will not. And I will never do that. That was the moment of change, huge change inside of Allah, you know. And he actually did not complete the program. He was so much, you know, with the new energy, because when something new comes, something has to die. We know that, you know. So this new thing was so powerful, and he said, he went to gym and he took 1 year membership. He asked the gym, what is the longest membership you give? They said 1 year. She said, okay, sign me up, you know. And he started, changing, and he lost weight. He's now about, I think, late 80s something, 85 or something, his weight from 185. Now, the change he went through is not weight only, frankly. That's what I want to focus on. So, and I'll give you two things. He said, when I used to go home from work, he's by the way, he got promoted later on. He's a director of HR information systems. So he said, when I go home, I used to, sleep or rest and then leave my house, go out with friends and come late home and not engage with my family. He had children. So that was my life. And now I don't leave, you know, I stay home, I enjoy with my family and all of that. I go to gym. So this is my new life. So next thing when he told me, that was really, really amazing. He said, my wife, you know, her mother, mother-in-law of Abdullah, is in hospital. So I told my wife, why don't you go and live with your mother? And she said, what? Will you let me go and stay with the mother for 1 week, you are saying? He said, yeah, why not? I will take care of the children, you know? So this was a huge change. He said, my wife started crying immediately, you know, and it's understandable. So this is the kind of change people go through, you know, when they link to spiritual, mental, emotional. So physical is very small thing, you know, usually. So which otherwise he came, in fact, to program, maybe it will help me to lose my weight. So this kind of change is a real powerful change.
There was a real powerful story. And it seems like when he connected to all of him, its totality, so everything aligned and there was a sudden shift in him.
Shift with that Abdullah you're talking about?
Yes, with Abdullah.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like something just shifted in him to in such a... like a, in such a meaningful way, if I may use that word.
Absolutely.
That immediately.
So this is absolutely, absolutely. You got it right. So it's a top down. Somebody's maybe putting in chat box also. Yes, it is top down. It is with that force I'm talking about. You know, the spiritual. We are all spiritual being living human experience in this world. So, when he was at his best of spiritual, I would say, when he thought my life could be meaningful for somebody.
Yeah.
And that somebody is maybe his most favorite daughter or person, you know.
Yeah.
And wow, how meaningful that life could be. Maybe that is, I'm just guessing, which is reflecting from what he did and what he talked about. That how meaningful that life will be if I live that life, you know. So he created a purpose, you know, a sense of purpose of doing something. So before that, when he was saying, oh, if I lose weight, what does it mean? So not very, you know, deeper meaning he was able to attach. So the moment he attached, and that's it, you know. So it's a top down. Yeah.
Mm. And you know, maybe you're just highlighting for us the importance of paying attention to our clients' coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, firstly for ourselves as coaches, and then when we're coaching someone, to pay real close attention and pick up shifts in energy and, you know, explore it, you know, that competency or that marker, notice and explore energy shifts in clients. And, you know, I'm not sure why, but a lot of coaches don't go into that space of exploring energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure why, and you know, whether it's just some mystery around it or some unknown territory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only when you do some encouraging and supporting and, you know, open that space, you know, what if you did go and try it?
Mm-hmm.
Coach the client around what you're noticing around the energy. And coaches do try it out of his hand. Go, yeah, you know, that was great.
Excellent. Thank you. Yeah, so with more awareness or consciousness or whatever we want to call it, I think a lot of other coaches do, I know, we coach the energy, you know, of the person. So that energy shift we want to bring in the person through exploring. There cannot be anything probably at least I know better than exploring to create that shift, you know, the deeper shift, in fact. Now it's up to the person how quick they catch it, you know, and how quick they find that connection, hopefully with force, you know. So that is very powerful, you know, and so I keep exploring until they find connection. You know, so that it's that simple sometimes, you know. So it requires, as a coach, it requires our patience, our presence, our listening. So all those things it requires, but that's where it takes you. That, you know?
So that's lovely that you say that, what it requires from a coach
mm-hmm.
on how to stay in that space to coach around energy.
Mm-hmm.
What are the tips can you give coaches, or what are the encouragement can you give coaches to go into that space with clients and explore energy?
I think if it's one big tip, I can give is explore what is important for them in their life. Yeah, that could be in different forms and shapes and different, you know, ages, age brackets and whatever. You know, we all know people in later age want to leave legacy. If somebody's 25, he's not worried about legacy that much, you know. So it depends who's the person you're talking, and they will drop some clues for you. You know, they will drop. But that happens when you explore, you know. They will drop some language, some feelings, some. So go with them wherever they take you. And they will be, that may not happen in one session. We don't have to force people to find immediately something. But something will come, and that will be powerful. And that's the spiritual. Somebody, I think, is asking, how would you coach around the spiritual? So stay there, you know, and wait until it comes. I was coaching a client, incidentally, by the way, on the weight loss recently. And he was saying, you know, I lost weight many times, and then I regained, which is very typical. So for the last 3-4 years, I have regained this 20 kilo again. So what to do? I hate weight loss and all that. So he was keep telling until we reached like 40th minutes, you know. So he mentioned his wife somehow twice or three times, you know. So I asked him, this guy, so you mentioned about your wife three times. So how's that relation and the meaning around it? And he told me. So he said, what kind of person you show up with this weight with your wife? He found the meaning of change, you know, right there. He said, that's it. I'm going to change from now, not tomorrow or anything. And he changed, by the way. And we had several follow-up sessions with him. So he changed totally and permanent kind of thing. I don't know if how permanent, but for 1 year now it is permanent, you know. So, and he said, yeah, now I found the purpose. Why should I do it? I think this purpose thing is very powerful, to be honest. And we should focus as much as we can. Not with our agenda, you know, obviously we have to be careful. But if it is what you know it is, then that will be more lasting change, if you want.
Yeah, I love that. Like you didn't say you waited for Monday, you know, I'll start on Monday or I'll start next week.
Yeah.
It was immediate. There was
immediate.
A purpose.
And he actually sent me a message after 1 hour he left. He said, you know, I'm wearing my joggers, I'm going out with my wife. And I like walking, so I started with walking. I said, do whatever works for you.
Yeah, I'm sure you got more slides. I'll just stay in the background.
Sure. Okay. So nutrition, I just want to mention that because this is foundational energy, which is related to our nutrition. It definitely affects our energy and time. Because this whole thing, by the way, the whole pyramid works as a system. It's not just one thing, you know, emotion and all. Yeah, they're interconnected also. When you are very hungry, you cannot focus, you know. So that's why this whole thing works in the system. And when you want to, you know, recover, you know, from one dimension, there are two ways to recovery. We call one is horizontal recovery, other is vertical. So vertical means you shift dimension. So you were working whole day in office and you were, you know, doing a lot of mental energy you are spending. So when you go home and you meet your family, you are in emotional dimension. So you are disconnecting from the mental, or you go for a run and you are now in the physical. And after physical, when you're tired physically, your mental is recovered, you know, or refilled, if you want to call it. So this is how we go vertical. And horizontal mean you are working out and you are resting. So that's on the same level, but in a horizontal dimension. So that also works very well. What you eat, you know, we have a need food and we have a want food. So 80-20 rule works best. You know, need mean eat what you need for physiological need. So our mantra is actually eat light, eat often, you know. to stabilize your blood. So this is where the physiological science comes in, you know, nutrition science, that stabilize the blood glucose levels in the body, improves metabolism and mood and craving and all that. So because our storage is in muscles, you know, so whenever we eat, when we decrease the supply, you know, so everything, and when we eat afterward, it goes to fat, you know. So, but when our body needs, it takes from muscles. So low supply is also a problem. High supply, you know, which is increased supply, is also a problem, you know. So anything with excessive eating, actually the insulin will kick in and then put everything in the fat. But when your body needs, it doesn't take from fat. It takes from muscles first. You know, it's like we call, will you draw money from checking account or long-term saving account? So we go to checking account, not the saving account. So the same way, body has its own intelligence, by the way. We cannot cheat, you know, we cannot do anything else. Body, the prime, you know, objective is to keep you alive. So it will do everything to keep you alive, and it adjusts on its own, you know, ways, and doesn't listen to you, what you expect it should do. So caffeine, for example, is a false energy. It's not real energy. Eating and exercising, definitely when we eat something and then exercise, eat little. That doesn't mean too much, by the way. Like eat an apple and take a 10 minutes break and then you go out. That's better than going at an empty stomach, because then again, you know, cheat. So what to eat is obviously, this is for normal people, by the way, it's not keto or anything, but grain and vegetable and protein combination is what's best. We can use our hands to measure how much we should eat. So that's like a very, you know, quick run for the what we should eat. Movement has a lot to do with energy. We all know that, you know, when we move, you know, and blood circulation and all. So non-movement is a problem because it impairs our blood circulation, decreases our metabolism, decreases energy level. So movement is very, very important. And there could be different movement. Even sitting in office, you can stretch, small movement, large movements. Deep breathing, we all know that. I don't have to, you know, focus too much, but a lot to do with energy also. Sleep is a big, big important part of energy. Your focus dimension of energy depends on your quality of sleep. Not just sleep, quality of sleep. You know, 7 hours is a good recommended quality of sleep. So combination of workouts like aerobic, resistance, flexibility, all that is required. So here comes another story I heard when I was in London Business School and we were in some training. So this story was shared with us. It's still with me, and people from India know better than me, definitely. And this is a great story of purpose and meaning. And this was somebody who was there and with, you heard Mr. Ratan Tata, who went to, you know, when he wanted this nano car to be designed, you know. So he called meeting of the car designers and he told them, listen, we want to move this, you know, two-wheeler family to four-wheelers. And imagine if we are able to do that, you know? So the energy he created, I heard he did 10, 15 minutes talk to them only, but the energy he created in that talk was enough for 1 month. And he gave them 1 month to design the car, you know? So this is the story or case study was shared with us in London Business School. So amazing story, the professor, Linda Grattan, who met Ratan Tata many times, and she shared this story with us. She was witness to it. She brought that case study to the classroom. That imagine if you are, you know, changing the life, or I mean, from two wheeler to four wheeler, what meaning it can give you as a designer, you know. So that was very powerful, and this is how a great leader can, by the way, you know, create the energy, you know, lasting energy, you know, give meaning to your life. And leaders do that, you know. Cindy, you want to say something? You're back.
I just love the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. I keep it, you know, and I even try to follow this kind of things with my own teams, you know. And I always feel when we create meaning in their life, by the way, this call it group coaching, by the way, call it anything, you know, to those teams. And so it's not only exploring with them; it's exploring what will energize them, you know. So, and what will, then you don't have to, they will find, I tell you, humans are limitless. You know, when we say you are limitless, you are resourceful and all, enable that, ignite that limitlessness in them, you know. So that's what happens with such stories. Yeah. So this life purpose, it reveals your ultimate purpose, obviously the most powerful tool for personal navigation, single greatest driver of engagement, etc. So people want to leave legacy. How do you want to be described? Who you want to be? That's why I was asking this question in the beginning. Who you are to be without your job title? Because then they don't care your job title once they have that kind of energy, you know? So, but this requires depth. It requires clarity and an intensity, you know? So it's not only the simple purpose, you know? This purpose is tested sometime, you know, when you are really trying to live it. But that's where the real thing comes. That's where you know, enjoy the most, when it's really tested. Intensity, clarity, depth, all very important. So on the mental side, I know we have 5 minutes or less, but we'll try to wrap up within the time. So mental dimension is when we are present and laser focused, skillful. So when story in our mind is not faulty, you know. So what kind of story we are creating? Is it empowering, disempowering? You know, as coaches, we know that. When people, so that we also capture sometimes through emotions, through mental energy, you know. So what kind of feeling comes to you? Where is it, this feeling? You know, what is tell you, what are you thinking, feeling? So that story is important too. So we listen to these stories from our clients, and that story, actually, we can navigate energy through the story, you know, we can easily navigate. So on emotion side, there are survival-based emotions, as you know, opportunity-based emotions, you know. So emotions, we were like to have, and we feel more resourceful or challenged, although we welcome all emotions, you know. So it's not that we say, no, this emotion is good, this is not good, positive, negative. So at the end, if I ask these people in the room, what are you most grateful for now, you know, in your life? What do you feel? What are you most grateful for? So that's where we can end.